Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, May 8th. In today's podcast, we've got plenty of crime news, including a mass brawl in Sheerness, and we'll also hear from the new manager of Gillingham Football Club. But first, taking a look at our top story, residents are calling for fees to be introduced to Shingle Beach in Minster to prevent campervan owners from setting up for weeks at a time. Some people say they're practically living on the site and committing anti-social acts, but others say they're contributing to the community. Our reporter Joe Crossley has been chatting to Jim Smart. He lives in Sheerness but drives his van to the car park to play his keyboard by the sea and get away from everything.
A lot of it is ignorance. People seem to think that we're getting away with something. You know, we're not paying this, we're not paying that, therefore we're living free. They don't like it. Why are we paying for our rent or our rates or whatever? Well, I've got a house, I pay rates, I live on the island, I've been on the island 35 years. There's a few people along here in the same situation. They've got houses. There's a, I'm not saying any names, but there's a woman down the road who lives about a quarter of a mile away from here. Mm. She comes here because she's on her own and she spends all day on her own in her house. And she comes here, it's for good for her mental health. Sitting by the sea, why not?
Yeah, and do you kind of buy the argument that if the council starts charging here, if they were, that nobody would use the site and then you lose that tourism, I guess?
It would affect it, but there's always somebody that will pay. The trouble is what you get for what you pay. I mean, people don't mind paying if there's something you can use. If there's toilets, if there's fresh water, somewhere to get rid of your wastewater, your grey water, which is, you know, the grey water, what we call grey water, is washing up water, that sort of thing. And obviously, you know, you've got your toilets and things. If you can empty them, a lot of people don't mind paying. However, it's got to be balanced. It's got to be balanced.
And so there is some facilities at Barton Point, I'm right in saying.
Yeah.
Should there be some up here as well if people are going to have to pay?
I think that's an idea. If they were to charge, then have something more local here. Although it's only across the road. But, you know, if you're going to charge, then you should say, well, you know, give us a key so you can get in at all hours, because they're locked at 7 o'clock at night. So, you know, if you could purchase a key, or, you know, that would help if you used to do that. But majority of people that come up here are visiting. Like this weekend is a bank holiday weekend. Oh, it's lousy weather, so you won't get as many. But if this was nice weather, there'd be a load of people up here from all over the country.
Council say the idea is under consideration.
Kent Online News.
A shop owner in Sheerness has been left with thousands of pounds worth of damage after a brawl broke out in the high street. Footage of the fight shows as many as 15 people inside and outside 3A Wines at around 8:30 on Saturday night.
Punches it, please. Oh!
Tab him.
I love it.
Get him. Get him.
Someone help
with
that, man. Come on.
Oi.
Someone
stop it.
The business owner says a broken door and damaged stock will cost them around £1,600 to replace. Two men and a woman have been arrested. Investigations are underway after a series of reported indecent exposure offences near Tunbridge Wells. CCTV images have been released of a person police would like to speak to after a person is thought to have acted inappropriately in areas close to Rustall Cricket Pitch and Coach Road. We've shared the pictures at Kent Online. Two people have been arrested after 57 cannabis plants were seized from a home in Maidstone. Officers were seen entering the property in Luce Road early yesterday morning. A man and a woman, both in their 40s and from Chatham, have been released on bail while inquiries continue. A suspected drug dealer has appeared in court after being found with cannabis and cocaine in Gravesend. Riley Yardley was searched by officers near Kendall Gardens on Sunday. They also found more than £3,000 in cash. The 21-year-old, who lives in Kendall Gardens, is also facing charges of driving while under the influence of drugs. A man has been injured and a dog seized after it reportedly attacked two other dogs in Folkestone. The victim was treated by paramedics as he tried to break up the fight on the Lees at around 8 on Monday morning. A 51-year-old 18-year-old was arrested on suspicion of having a dog dangerously out of control. He's been released on bail. The breed of the dog is still unclear. A Margate shopper who slapped a security guard in the face with a bag of chicken nuggets has been sent to prison. Michael Price was drunk when he became verbally abusive and aggressive with staff at the Iceland in College Square after they refused to sell him alcohol. The 39-year-old, who lives in Luton in Bedfordshire, was locked up for 12 months.
Kent Online News.
The boss of P&O Ferries has been given evidence in Parliament about pay and rights for workers. It's been just over 2 years since they sacked 800 employees and replaced them with agency staff who earn less than the UK minimum wage. The company's chief executive, Peter Hebblethwaite, has been giving evidence to the Business and Trade Committee.
Today we're looking at labour rights. Thank you so much indeed for joining us, Mr. Hebblethwaite. Perhaps I could just kick off by asking, are you basically a modern day pirate?
We recognise that we made a very difficult decision 2 years ago, one that was legal, but we also have to acknowledge, and one that I wish we had never, ever had to make in the first place. But we also have to acknowledge that without that difficult decision, P&O would not be here today, and we would not have been able to preserve the 2,000 jobs that we have been able to preserve, take the 135,000 tonnes of CO2 emissions that we have taken out of our carbon footprint, open up new routes, continue to serve the most important trade route between the UK and the continent.
He says the average pay for workers currently is around £5 an hour, which is less than half the UK living wage. The CEO has been questioned about whether that's morally right.
What I must emphasise in the strongest terms, please, is that these are international seafarers in an international business, in international water, that we pay considerably ahead of the international minimum standard, that we believe that that's right, that we, but not just me, I would emphasise that our crewing agent, who are responsible for our crews and employ our crews, have no problem with recruitment, no problem with retention. In addition to that, we, I think, offer seafarer welfare on board that is second to none. Every seafarer has their own cabin, they have their own restaurants, they have their own recreation space, they have their own gyms, but please don't take my word for it. I would love for you to come on board and talk to the seafarers yourself.
Well, we will certainly check some of the evidence that we've received, but I mean, do you think you could live on £4.87 an hour?
No, I couldn't.
Bosses in Thanet are considering bringing in tougher rules to crack down on antisocial behaviour. They want to extend the current public space protection order to cover the whole district, not just Margate and Ramsgate. They also want to ban the consumption of legal psychoactive substances and stop harassment, including strangers approaching women. A Kent MP has asked the government to step in and pay for repairs to a road that was damaged in a landslide more than a year ago. The A226 Galley Hill Road has been closed since last April and a row's broken out between Thames Water and Kent County Council over who's liable for the damage. Dartford MP Gareth Johnson has spoken about it in Parliament.
I'd hoped they would resolve the issue of liability quickly, but alas, that has not been the case. What we do know is that the road being closed now for over a year has caused enormous misery for people just trying to go about their daily business. HGVs have been using the narrow Swanscombe High Street, which although KCC has put in a temporary traffic order to stop, this hasn't entirely solved those problems. We have a significant number of businesses in the area on either side of Galley Hill who have seen their takings reduced due to the lengthy diversion that has to be covered in order to circumvent the road that has collapsed.
Roads Minister Guy Opperman says the government won't cover the cost of repairs, but he's urging Thames Water and KCC to find a solution quickly. A Maidstone man who's been living in his car for 2 years has told the Kent Online podcast it's disgraceful the way homeless people are being treated. Paul Groans has a full-time job but can't find any accommodation because he has two dogs. The 45-year-old has been trying to get a temporary property but isn't considered a priority.
I know roughly what the outcome is going to be. They're going to come back saying that I'm a non-priority, in priority need, which means I've got to go private rent. Unfortunately, I can't go private rent because I'm struggling financially. I'm in debt to my eyes. And I am finding it hard. And I look online on all the places that Maidstone Borough Council had given me, and every property I've looked at, it says no pets. And I'm just getting annoyed with Maidstone Borough Council, because all they keep saying is go private rent, go private rent. And I've told them my situation, told them my circumstances that I'm in, and they don't seem to care. It is an absolute disgrace the way people do get treated. It's not their choice. They want to be homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, no one knows what life happens. Someone could have a property 30 years, 40 years. One day it could literally all be gone. I just feel let down by my local authorities. I was born and bred in Maidstone, in Ringlestone. And it feels that I'm being victimised by Maidstone Borough Council because I work and I've got dogs. And it does break my heart.
If you could explain how important your dogs and staying with your dogs are to you.
My dogs are my world. They mean everything to me. If I didn't have my dogs, I wouldn't be here. These have been an absolute rock to me. They are family. And any animal lover, obviously like myself, will say how much their animal means to them.
Council bosses say they're awaiting the outcome of a review into his case and are working to help identify a suitable housing solution. Controversial plans to develop Chatham Docks have been pushed back following a legal challenge. The proposals were due to be voted on today. However, a business on the site is concerned it might be illegal to approve the application. Council bosses say they're seeking advice before proceeding. There are fears another Beefeater restaurant in Kent could be closed by Premier Inn owners Whitbread. It follows the news the company would be cutting 1,500 jobs from across the country. Customers say the Woodlands Beefeater in Rootham Road will close in July, but bosses say the site is still under consideration.
Kent Online News.
A Folkestone mum living with MS is raising money so she can undergo life-changing treatment in Mexico. 42-year-old Lindsay Diller was diagnosed 11 years ago, and the condition has now progressed to the point where she struggles to carry out simple tasks.
I had a diagnosis in 2012. I was living away with my husband in Malawi. Then I got my diagnosis, so we had to come back. We came into, because there's no medicine treatment there. 2014, we looked into the therapy that I wanted, and then there was a mix-up. So we put it on hold to start a family. So we wanted, because they wanted me to start these really strong drugs, and I said I didn't want to take them until I'd have my family. I don't really want to take them full stop. So we had the children, and then when Levi, our youngest, he's two, when he was 14 months old, he was diagnosed with Down syndrome, which obviously was massive. And it kind of came to the forefront. I was like, my health, like they've changed my diagnosis from relapse and remitting MS to secondary progressive, which means I go down, 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 down. And I was like, Junior, our eldest, is so independent. Levi might never be independent. So, sorry.
That's okay.
I just want to be able to get up and show up every day for my boys, really. So I was like, something needs to change. And because I'm not eligible on the NHS, because I've had the disease 11 years, not 10, and the criteria I don't meet, I've exhausted all my options here. This is the way forward for me and my family to just... Oh, the other thing I should say is if I had it done privately here, it would be £80,000 to £100,000. So it's like double, but the clinic I'm going to has been doing it for 20 years.
When you get this treatment, what does it mean? What would it mean to you?
So what it means everything to me and the world, to my family. I took a career break last year because of my health. I'm hoping that I can do more and give back more. So what they say at the clinic, it's not a cure. They can't by rights say that it's a cure for MS. But But what they can guarantee is that it will halt it where it is right now. So obviously I've been going down, 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 halt. I've now spoke to a number of people who are having improvements as well. So I can only imagine someone on the clinic wrote on one of my pages the other day, like an admin person from the Mexico clinic, and said that for the treatment, my prognosis is really good. And I left it on there so that people can see if they want to read more about it. He said, because of the different factors that I had and that I'm still walking and all this, he believes that the outcome will be positive. To my family, it would mean everything. I can get up, show up for my family. Maybe I'll be able to return to work, do more volunteering, clean it. Like, my husband laughs because he said, well, so you want this treatment so you can do more cleaning and go to the gym? I said, yes, yes, please. Just means everything.
The mum of two needs to raise £50,000 for a specialist stem cell transplant. Friends and family have set up a GoFundMe, which has already raised more than £10,000. A Kent man is campaigning for change to laws on assisted dying after his wife passed away from cancer. Mike Moroney says Pauline, his wife of 59 years, suffered through the indignity of palliative care and was left bedbound on strong painkillers and too weak to eat or stand. He says she should have been given the option to end her life sooner and is urging the government to take action. Tributes have been paid to the co-owner of a popular restaurant chain in Medway following his sudden death. Serge Sergeyenkov, who ran Cafe Nucleus with his husband Aaron, passed away last Thursday. Sharing the news over the weekend, Aaron described him as the light and love of my life.
Kent Online News.
Head to Kent Online to see pictures of a vineyard near Canterbury that has been lit up with a mysterious orange glow. Neighbours of the Barham Wine Estate were left baffled, but bosses say the lighting is from specially designed candles that help to keep the frost off the vines. And a Kent-based freight company is going to be using specially treated vegetable oil as fuel to help cut down on emissions. Bosses at Europa Road in Dartford have signed a new contract to help make trips between the UK and mainland Europe more eco-friendly.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and the new Gillingham manager says he can't wait to get started. Mark Bonner has been appointed just over a week after head coach Stephen Clements was sacked. The 38-year-old was most recently at Cambridge United, but says he's looking forward to his time at Priestfield. He's been chatting to the club's media team.
When you put together what is it you look for in a job, I think one is you want opportunity, you want to work with good people. I've been really impressed with the people that I've met so far. And you want a club that's really ambitious and wants to grow together and learn and develop a winning football team. So I think our missions are aligned in that sense. I received a call late Monday evening last week and met on Tuesday with Brad, with Shannon, with Kenny and with Joe. And after the back of that meeting, they asked me to come and attend at Priestfield last Friday and present to them. And then Monday afternoon, I heard that they'd like to offer me the job. And Tuesday morning, I'm here signing and getting everything sorted and off and running. So, yeah, I've been really impressed with the process, really impressed with the people that I've met. I love the vision for the club. And this is a big football club, you know. I love seeing everything that's in operation and all the plans for the future. So I'm really excited to get started.
You've kind of touched on it, but why Gillingham? What was the massive appeal about this job?
I think a few things. I think one, ambition is really key, and the owners are really ambitious and the supporters are too, but not just ambitious for winning football teams, but ambitious for what they see from their team, ambitious for creating a culture where everyone comes together. I think that's a strength of mine and builds a real identity as a team and as a club. In the end, really builds a team that players want to play in and supporters love watching. That's the dream, that's what we're trying to work with. I've got some brilliant people here to help me. I've been really impressed and really enjoyed getting to know Kenny and seeing where things are at the moment and excited to get to work. And I think the one thing that we've got, which is so rare, Phil, in first team football anyway, you know, we've got 2 months till we come back for pre-season. It gives us time. It gives us time to plan. It gives us time to be really well organised for pre-season, really well organised with where we want to go with the team in terms of recruitment. And if we can get things right, then we'll be in a strong position when we come back. And then the real work starts at that point.
That's all for us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.